Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Forcing Fire American Soccer Show, episode number 204. As Landon Donovan already, as we all know, has bid adieu to the sport as one of the top American soccer players ever produced. Special show, of course, discussing everything he's done, not just on the club level and the national team level, but everything. And to discuss the club level is my good friend Dave Denholm from Fox Sports, as well as his podcast, 3 points for a win, or I probably messed that up already, Dave. I apologize, but
threeforawin.com. Pleasure to be here, Daniel, and talk about the greatest American player. Certainly deserves it.
Absolutely. You know, it's amazing where he spent most of his time on club level. Obviously, many thought he'd be in Europe for Bayer Leverkusen in Germany. Of course, he had those stints on the loan with Everton twice, Bayern Munich once back in the Bundesliga, but he made his trade in Major League Soccer, of course, his first 4 years with San Jose, and then the rest of his career with the Los Angeles Galaxy. Of course, you've seen him in your backyard, so to speak, Home Depot Center, now StubHub Center. For those of us that weren't able to watch him game in, game out, what can you take away from what Landon Donovan has done, not just for the Galaxy, but for the league itself?
I think you'll be hard-pressed in our lifetimes to really see a better player in MLS year in and year out consistently and for as long as he did. That's going to be difficult. I'm sure we will eventually, but it's going to have to be a really special player because Carlos Torres is my co-host at 3 for a Win. We talked about it when we did some talked about Landon after he announced his retirement. And basically we summed it up like he was always the best player on the pitch on any given game whenever he played in MLS. I mean, it's just true. And that doesn't mean he always played the best. Doesn't mean he always had great games every game. But he had consistent years, year in and year out, of just being the best player, the most dangerous player on the pitch. And when you get paid like he did, when you are the face of American soccer, you need to play that way. Some guys don't do it week in and week out, month in and month out, and season in and season out, and Landon did.
Absolutely. He really, really did. I mean, I just looked up all the statistics up to this point, obviously. Playing in 322 games, started in 301 of them. Of course, we still have a couple more games remaining in this 2014 season, over 27,600 minutes played. That is just unbelievable for a player like him to go out, game in, game out, at home, on the road. I mean, this has been an unbelievable record for a player that has been, as we've said many times already, the face of the game in the United States.
Yeah, and, you know, and he's always been that draw, too. I mean, he's had a lot of responsibility on his shoulders beyond the pitch as well. And really, you know, look, there's some issues with Landon Donovan, sure, just like there are with virtually every professional athlete who's ever played in sport, especially at that kind of level, that kind of just top level of being in your sport. But let's be realistic, Daniel. If you talk to Fifri, who know nothing about soccer in America, a good chunk of them are still going to have heard of Landon Donovan. And that's big, too, for a sport like, and especially for a league like MLS, where he plied his trade and did big things to help this league grow.
He really did. And, of course, talk about that game where he got the league record for most career goals in the league. I know he passed a couple of great players, obviously, Jaime Moreno, Marco Echeverri, just even Kobe Jones, one of his former teammates, 138 goals. What was it like at the stadium that day when he finally got that tally?
Well, I think it was more relief for him, but also a little bit of a stuff it in your face kind of day, too. Let's be honest. Landon doesn't mind showing up people when they deserve it, and that was Jurgen Klinsmann. And at least he felt he deserved to be on that team, certainly, and on the World Cup team. And he kind of shoved it back at Jurgen with that. But there was also relief. You know, it had been a long time coming, remember, and he had struggled to score for a while to start the season. And that kind of opened the floodgates a bit this year for Landon. So for him to get it and just get it over with was probably more of a relief for him. But he deserved it, and everybody knew he'd eventually get there. And it's going to take a while. I think it's going to take a long while in Major League Soccer for anybody to come close to what he's done, even statistically.
Absolutely. I mean, he's played with great international players, of course. We can't dismiss the David Beckham years, even though maybe at the beginning a little turmoil. Of course, Robbie Keane, who is with him currently, and seeing some of these great players the Galaxy have developed, obviously there's Omar Gonzalez, Sardes, bringing other players over like Juninho and many others. What does it mean to see Landon Donovan not just working well with them, but at the same time being able to go and win championships with these types of players out on the field for this Galaxy team?
Yeah, you know, it is true. It hasn't always been the most smooth ride off the pitch with some of his teammates, obviously David Beckham being a big factor of that. I think Landon didn't love that he would have to not only share the spotlight, he essentially had to give it up to a guy like David Beckham. But who wouldn't, you know? I mean, what teammates wouldn't have to give up the spotlight to Beckham, especially for a guy like that to come into MLS when he did? So there was a little adjustment there, no question. You'd be lying if you said it all went smoothly. They did not get along at first, and they'd be the first ones to tell you that. But being professional as they are, they put it aside and got back to work and won titles, and really were the best teams by far in those years that they won titles. So teammate for most of the, you know, like with virtually all of the teammates, they don't have bad words to say about them. It's not like he's a bad guy. He's a bit of an interesting character, to say the least, and I think I've had some issues at times with what he's done off the pitch with the sabbatical, and, you know, it hurt him more than he would care to admit now. But, you know, that kind of stuff, it's part of his legacy, but it doesn't taint completely. You know, certainly it has to be part of the story, but you really can't make that all of the story. He's just too good. He was just way too good to let that, you know, kind of cloud his legacy, if you will, on the pitch, too.
And this is it. This is a swan song. This is the last year officially of Landon Donovan, not just for international play, but for league play, for everything. What will be the one thing that you will sorely miss not seeing Landon Donovan out there performing at his best, at his worst? What will be the one thing we will, not just yourself, obviously, but we will all miss when it comes to Landon Donovan hanging his boots up for the final time?
Well, I think you just missed that touch of class, really, on the pitch. And you know what? I'll be perfectly honest with you. He's not the same player. So I don't know that – I mean, we see it very, very infrequently compared to what we used to. It used to be that you would have quite literally – multiple occasions per game where he was just so much more classy and so much better than the players around him that he could just do what he wanted, it seemed at times. And now it's maybe once every few games at best. So we are seeing it less frequently, but it's just how much better he was and is, really, in terms of his brain and the soccer, the way he plays the game, the way, you know, first step above MLS, you know, and he proved it time and time again. And I'll miss that. I'll also miss that feed, which has been gone for about a year and a half. And then that's been a shame because he had a gear that nobody else had for a long time in Major League Soccer, and that was a big difference maker.
Absolutely. Dave, I always appreciate the time. I thank you so much for being on here, and definitely we'll have you back on the next time you're available. Thank you again, and I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, man. Have fun.
You too. Dave Denholm, of course, he is in the Los Angeles area. He's seen Landon Donovan play for the Galaxy. Seen a lot of Galaxy victories, championships, some tough losses, but Landon Donovan, of course, doing all of that well. Joining me now, of course, to talk about his national team career, Michael Lewis, Big Apple Soccer for New York Newsday as well. And Michael, when you first heard about Landon Donovan through maybe when Bruce Arena started to become the national team head coach back in the mid to late 90s, talking about him, seeing him maybe with the under-20s, doing well in that one under-20 World Cup. What was your opinion when you finally saw what Landon Donovan was able to give?
You know, it's funny. There were so many great young youth players that just didn't make it, and everyone was saying this is the one that's going to make it. And I have to admit, I was not convinced just because, you know, you fooled me once. You're not going to fool me a tenth time, but you could tell that this player was special in so many different ways. You know, he had the ability to shoot, pass. He had pace. He played for the team. Yeah, he can play for himself, but he played for the team. And I think most importantly, you know, we talk about pace and speed, which is important, but his brain, what a soccer brain. He could think very quickly and figure out what to do. I really rarely remember Landon Donovan screwing up royally with the national team with just a horrible pass or anything like that. I remember watching him at the under-17 World Cup, in 1999. And this is before cable television was all over the place, and at least with ESPN. And I had to go to a bar at like 11 o'clock at night with a bunch of people on Long Island to watch Landon Donovan and the U.S. team play. If I'm not mistaken, it was Australia in the semifinals. And you could tell, I felt like the U.S. was the Brazilian team and Australia was the U.S. team way back then. But you could tell that Landon Donovan was a special player even way back then.
Absolutely. Obviously, we cannot discuss about Landon Donovan without mentioning those terrific games, those World Cup qualifiers, those Gold Cup finals where he majority was on the positive side of the ledger, once maybe or twice negative when it came to the last final, which was, I think, back during Bob Bradley's time, where he did score to make it 2-0 USA, but Mexico came back to win it 4-2 after equalizing at half. How much of a deterrent was Mexico, or at least how upset were they when Landon Donovan puts the ball in the back of their net, and you know, you just know that it was deflation time.
Yeah, he was their villain. You know, if you're going to have a rivalry, you're going to have someone on the other side to jump on, so to speak, and he became that villain in the fact that he could speak Spanish and go on Hispanic or Mexican radio stations, television stations, and get his point across, helped his cause and probably fueled the rivalry a lot, which is good for soccer anywhere. He was probably, for the Mexicans, a man that they love to hate, as the old saying goes. Saying that, though, he made it even more difficult for Mexican supporters because of what he did against them on a regular basis. You're not going to beat every team every time. I think it's healthy to lose once in a while, but more often than not, Landon Donovan was a major, major thorn in the side to L3.
And we all know about the sabbatical. We all know about the 4 months he missed at the start of the 2013 season, missing, and of course Jurgen Klinsmann didn't use him for the first six qualifiers because of that, but answering the bell in this last Gold Cup in the 2013, it looked like he was motivated. I mean, it looked like he can just dial it back and score more than just a goal or two. He could have scored a hat trick. I mean, he was just absolutely unbelievable in that 2013 Gold Cup tournament.
He was in his zone, his game. He was having, a lot of fun for the, internationally for the first time in a long time. Granted, the Gold Cup isn't a World Cup qualifiers, but to a lot of countries that are performing in the Gold Cup, that is their World Cup because they know U.S., Mexico, and probably either Costa Rica or Honduras. But he had a wonderful tournament. I forgot his stats, but I think he had an average of a goal and an assist a game. But more important than that, he controlled the midfield. He controlled the flow of play and the pace of the U.S. team, which is more important than whatever numbers he put up, which were important. But he was definitely the MVP of the Gold Cup. It's a pity that he isn't around to do it for future teams.
Absolutely. Here's a quick stat for you, Michael. In 35 World Cup qualifiers, he has scored 12 goals. That's an amazing record right there. But what does it mean to be or to see him break the U.S. soccer scoring record that was once held by Eric Winalda? Of course, Landon Donovan, 50 goals, 50 assists. I mean, we've never seen an American player score that many and assist on so many goals in one big career.
I think he just deserved to do that. I'm glad he accumulated that many assists too, so at least numerically people will be reminded, maybe not you, me, or your audience, who I think knows the game, but people will understand it. The outsiders or the new soccer fans will understand that this is someone who not only could score goals, but could set up teammates too, because he was a very good team player. He played for the team. When he got the opportunity to shoot, he would shoot. I don't think he had too many selfish bones in his. I have enjoyed seeing him play. I hope to see him play a few more times this year.
So do I. I hope one of these friendlies that the U.S. Soccer is setting up with, hopefully Landon Donovan will be called in by Jurgen Klinsmann as a farewell, as a send-off for this great career he's had. Out of all the moments you've seen Landon Donovan in a national team shirt, what or which one makes you smile and makes you reminisce about how great this player was for our national team?
It's got to be the World Cup game in South Africa against Algeria, how he put away the ball after he helped bring it up the field in stoppage time, scoreless draw. U.S. needed not a tie in 1 point, but a victory in 3 points to get into the next round, and he put away a rebound of a shot, and that will be when they show Landon Donovan's goals, or the last thing that they show at the Hall of Fame ceremony in a few years, that's what they're going to show. And maybe they'll show it a few times, because there are a lot of fans in the United States who can tell you where they were at the time when he scored that goal. And that's an historic goal, beyond the fact how beautiful it was and whatnot. But I think it just showed that was Landon Donovan prime time. You couldn't ask for anything more or better than him.
Absolutely.
And, I have to admit, I was at that game in Rustenburg. I don't know if I smiled as much as, oh, I've got a lead to write very, very quickly. I think the next day, or maybe on the bus back to the hotel, I kind of grasped what had occurred. But I had to write a story that night. But it was a tremendous moment for U.S. soccer history.
It really, really was. And actually, Michael, my moment for Landon Donovan on the national team goes all the way back to the 2002 World Cup, the round of 16 game against Mexico, where they were leading 1-0 USA, and then that great cross by Eddie Lewis right to the feet of Landon Donovan, and he buries it, and he rips off his shirt in celebration. That, in my opinion, you know, just starts off the legend of Landon Donovan. Michael, thank you so much. I'll talk to you this weekend at Red Bull Arena. Thank you again. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
No problem at all. It's Michael Lewis, everybody. Big Apple Soccer, as well as New York Newsday, writing about the New York Red Bulls and American soccer in this area of New York City. And, of course, we cannot have a show unless we bring over Kartik Krishnire, of course, from World Soccer Talk right now, as we discuss the positives and maybe some of the negatives about Landon Donovan's career. And Kartik, obviously some great moments that Landon Donovan has provided for us for the national team. The only negative I would have to say, unfortunately, would be the sabbatical he took that I think knocked him out of the roster for Brazil.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I guess he had his intensely personal reasons for taking a sabbatical, but that certainly did not sit well with some of his teammates and with the manager, Jurgen Klinsmann. And so what we ended up seeing was instead of Landon Donovan becoming the first American player in history to play, to feature in four World Cups, there have been other guys that have made four World Cup squads, Claudio Reyna and Casey Keller. Distinction now is held by DeMarcus Beasley and DeMarcus Beasley alone. It could have been, it looked like it would be just Donovan that would break that mark. Then it looked like it might be Donovan and Beasley as Beasley worked his way back into the U.S. picture.
Absolutely. But
Beasley,
as
who incidentally played every moment, minute of the World Cup this year,
yeah,
2014, and he had not played. He had never been a consistent starter in 02 he started the first game. 06 he started that last game against Ghana, and then in 10 he didn't start any of the games. But in 14 Beasley played every minute, so he's getting better with age. As an aside to Donovan.
Yeah, absolutely. As a whole, though, for Landon's career, Kardik, I guess my question is this: where do we rank Landon? Maybe with American soccer players, does he surpass Eric Winalda? Is he tied with Winalda? And maybe within the whole game itself, I mean, is he close to someone like maybe Thierry Henry, like some of the great players that have played this game from England, from France, from Germany, from Spain, from Italy, and so on? You know, do we rank him higher or around that upper echelon, or is he where you think he should be?
Among American players, he's better than Winalda, but he's not the best American field player. I would say that would probably have been Claudio Reyna. Now, for the national team, he might have been the best player, actually. But overall, I would say club and national team Reyna is probably the top player. And, you know, there are some other really good ones that are up there. Obviously, Tav Ramos, he's up there. Harksey, what he was able to do getting captaining the U.S. team and obviously also leading his Sheffield Wednesday team to Wembley on two occasions, playing a big role in the English game, and then captaining DC United to the first two MLS Cups. That's at the club level, you know, comparable or more bigger than what Donovan accomplished. National team level, of course, Harks also controversially dropped right before a World Cup like Donovan was. So, but he's there. He's in the top five. I mean, I guess, you know, I'm just thinking offhand, it would be Reyna, Ramos, maybe Harksey, Donovan, and at the club level, that might be it. I know for Steve Trundle, I would put in that top five, at least at the club level. And national team, maybe a little lower, but that's field players. Goalkeepers, it's a separate category. I don't want to start comparing Donovan to Brad Friedel and Casey Keller.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. It's a separate category.
Yeah. Now, overall, Thierry Henry, you know, that's a tough one. Thierry Henry's on another level, right? You can't compare him to that. But, I mean, I think he's comparable to a lot of the players we've seen, English players. You know, he's comparable to an Alan Shearer. He's comparable to as far as his accomplishments, maybe not at the club level to Paul Scholes, but certainly international level, he's probably more accomplished than Shearer at the international level and the club level. Is he Lampard or Gerrard? No, he's not. He's not quite. Although he might have accomplished more at the international level than Lampard. Lampard was never a particularly good player for England. He was just a great player for Chelsea. But, yeah, I think he's at a pretty high level. He was established as the poster child for U.S. soccer for a number of years, and I think his struggles in Germany notwithstanding, when he went to England on two occasions with Everton, he did quite well, which makes you think maybe he just, as far as Europe was concerned, went to the wrong league. Germany was the wrong league for him. German coaches are different than English coaches. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a culture. You kind of have to fit into German culture, whereas in England it's much more, that's why there's so many foreign players that are successful in England. It's just a much more kind of open
society football-wise. And Donovan did better when he went to Everton the two times, and I think that redeemed a lot of his reputation in Europe. To the point where a lot of English people, a lot of people I talk to, they have a lot of respect for Donovan, which the Germans don't, but a lot of English people do.
Yeah, I would have to say so. And I would also have to say for Donovan, there have been times where, you know, it seems like he acted kind of brutish, like it kind of been a little bit brash, sort of, and he would just, I remember a game when he was playing for San Jose where he took a shot and it was saved by, Johnny Walker, and then all of a sudden there's like an elbow thrown at Walker for no reason, and, you know, the negative side pops up every once in a while.
Yeah,
you know,
I remember
like,
a Super League game. I remember a game in the Super League, which ended up the fun competition between the Galaxy and FC Dallas, where he did something. I mean, he did the choke sign to the bench, Colin Clark. I don't think Colin was coaching anymore. I think Steve Morrow at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But just absolutely uncalled for. And, of course, the most famous incident is him urinating at Estadio Jalisco before the 2004 Conca Cap U23 champion semifinal, which we lost.
Yeah, I hate to say this. I think he was duped into doing that because I think they intentionally wanted to catch him, the Mexican media.
Yeah,
I think that was more intentional than for him to just, disrespect the field.
I've gone to Mexico for a number of years. But when I went to Mexico 2005, 2007, and Donovan's, you know, kind of the peak of his powers, there was so much respect for him in Mexico.
Yeah.
Wasn't like these other American players, you know. When I talk about Arce and Waldo, they used to just say, these guys are crap. They're just American players. They only know how to counterattack. You know, we're better than them. Our players are more skilled than they are, even if they beat us. Donovan, they had a lot of respect for in Mexico. They thought he was a class footballer. To the point where Herrera said that this is to him a shock that U.S. won't be the same without Donovan in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the same thing. We have a lot of good players, and I try to tell people in Mexico that we have a lot of skilled players. I would tell them at the time, look, we have a guy, Johnny O'Brien, who's always hurt, but he's actually more skilled than Donovan. They didn't want to hear me when I said that. Although Donovan actually would admit John O'Brien was more skilled than him. Donovan said John O'Brien is the single best American player he played with. Problem is O'Brien was never fit, always hurt.
Yeah, that's the one poor thing about John O'Brien. He had plenty of skill, plenty of ability, just could not stay healthy enough to show what he could really do, and obviously a lot of tough moments there. And I guess finally, Kardik, with the situation now, Landon Donovan is retired. He's got 50 goals, 50 assists for the national team. He's got the MLS record for most career goals. Out of all the moments that Landon Donovan has shown, what was your favorite moment that Landon Donovan provided for you, either watching him play at the club level or for the national team?
Oh, wow, that's a tough one. I'll tell you, the worst one for me was 2001 against the Miami Fusion, so we'll just throw that one in the playoffs. I remember 2002, the World Cup. He scored a great goal against Mexico, really a goal that was made by the run and the cross by Eddie Lewis. And then there was a game against Germany after that, after we beat Mexico, where I'll never forget the picture of him crying, the usefulness of him crying, and Ernie Stewart, you know, hugging him and basically telling him, Landon, it's going to be your time soon. It's going to be your time. That was, of course, Ernie Stewart's final World Cup. They were leaving the pitch. Obviously, Algeria comes to mind. At the club level, there's so many moments with the Galaxy. There's the great moments he had in his loan spell at Everton. I think maybe it was that Dempsey versus Donovan game, which was such a big deal here in the States. Remember the FA Cup match between Fulham and Everton? That was a great memory. Donovan outplayed Deuce that day. I didn't expect that. I mean, I thought, you know, Dempsey was going to be motivated and was going to show, because there was a lot of talk about that in this country. And then the other, you know, great, I think, national team moment might have been, as insane as this sounds, 2007 Gold Cup final against Mexico. Obviously, Benny Faulhaber wins the game with that goal he scored, that incredible goal, and wins the Gold Cup. But it was just the way Donovan, to that point, it kind of held the team together. Things we didn't play well in the first half that game. Timmy Howard made a couple good saves. We could have been down 2 or 3 nil. Donovan just, that was the day I thought, you know what, maybe Bradley made a mistake making Bocanegra the captain. Maybe Donovan should be the captain. Future events would prove that Bocanegra was a good captain, and Donovan, of course, quitting mm-hmm. and doing all this stuff. But I would say those would be my biggest memories.
All right. Kardik, thank you very much for the time. I always appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon, my friend. Take care and have a good
thank
evening.
You, thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. And that's Kardik Krishnar from World Soccer Talk. And we're going to take a caller here. Go ahead, caller. If there's a Landon Donovan memory you have, please go ahead.
Hi, is this First Time Fire? First Time Fire? Did they first
yep.
time there from New York? Oh, hey, how are we doing? We all met a long time ago. My name is Jebediah Amsterdam. Come back here to Louisiana, moved down up there to Philadelphia, liking them Red Bulls from New York. Got down to be a good boy. We're going to miss watching him play football.
Cool. Now,
seeing my best mm-hmm. moment with him would probably be in the World Cup when he scored that goal. What would that be back there in 2010? I jumped out of my seat when he hit that. That was the one against Slovakia, maybe? Oh, that was a good one. But mm-hmm. how do you think them Red Bulls going to do this year? I haven't been allowed back in that stadium in 10 years.
Well, at the moment, we'll see what the Red Bulls do. We're just talking about Landon Donovan at the moment. But is there anything else about Landon you'd like to discuss?
Oh, yeah, that boy Christian Dyer filled me in again. I'm good at Landon Donovan. You have a good one. I'm going to tell Molly we're talking to you. Have a good night now.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Hi,
thank you.
Mr.
And a very interesting person calling in, but we'll see what happens Landon Donovan, hopefully we'll see what happens in his future. Will he remain in soccer? Will he stay away from soccer? Who knows? Maybe become someone in the front office, maybe become a coach, maybe an assistant coach. Maybe he'll join Bruce Arena's ranks. Maybe he'll help out with the youth team in the Galaxy. But obviously these last year and a half has been the big question mark about Donovan. And all I can say is that with Landon Donovan saying goodbye, and you know what? It's just all I can say is that we're going to miss something very, very terrible with Landon Donovan. Some will say yes, some will say no. But seeing him, just seeing him saying goodbye at the age of 32, you figured the national team career was over. But saying goodbye to everything, maybe it is the time for him to say goodbye, and maybe it is the time for him to move forward and say he is finished with this sport as a player. Hopefully he'll come back and do something nice, or maybe he'll just go away and disappear. Not saying I want that. I would like for him to come back to the game, to the American game, and do something special. Teach the next new era of Landon Donovans that can go out there, and he can definitely put a stamp on the game here in the United States, talking about what he has done. And that is what I hope for from Landon Donovan. National NASL segment now, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about the second division. Once again, there will be no Red Bull Hour, as they had a break in their schedule. So join me next week as we will talk about the Red Bulls, and we'll go back to 2 hours next week. Here are the matches that happened this past weekend on Saturday, August the 16th. Carolina Railhawks hosted FC Edmonton, and the Railhawks just could not hold on. They lose this by a score of 3-2. Zach Shalosky with a brace. His first one was in the 12th minute. But FC Edmonton coming back. Lance Lang in the 53rd made it 1-1. Richie Jones in the 64th minute made it 2-1 FC Edmonton. Shalosky got his brace in the 75th minute, but it was Neil Halavity that gave Edmonton the victory and put them ahead permanently on the road as the Railhawks lose at home again for the third time. Final score in this one, Carolina Railhawks 2, FC Edmonton 3. The Fort Lauderdale Strikers hosting the Atlanta Silverbacks, and that ended in a 1-1 draw. Jaime Chavez scored early in the 7th minute and got to halftime for Atlanta with the lead, but Fafa Picault made it 1-1 on an equalizer in the 62nd minute, and that would be the end of Fort Lauderdale in this game moving on, and that would be the end of it. Final score at Lockhart, Fort Lauderdale Strikers 1, Atlanta Silverbacks 1. The Tampa Bay Rowdies hosting the New York Cosmos at Al Lang Stadium, and it would be a 3-1 victory for the Rowdies as they are able to get 3 points on the Cosmos. It was Keith Savage in the 22nd minute that gave Tampa Bay the 1-0 lead up to half. Tamika Mkandawari made it 2-0 Tampa Bay in the 58th minute, even though Stefan Dimitrov pulled one back in the 81st minute, but there was no sense of fear from the Rowdies. Blake Wagner puts the final nail in the coffin to make it 3-1 as the Rowdies defeat the Cosmos. Final score in this one, the Tampa Bay Rowdies 3, the New York Cosmos 1. Minnesota United hosting the Indy 11, and it was a rout, a complete rout job done by Minnesota United FC. It was Aaron Pitchcolan that got the party started in the 25th minute. Christian Ramirez got a brace in this game, but you should see the video of his goal in the 37th minute. He was on his bike, and he smacks it right past the keeper just inside the far post. No one expecting it. What a goal from Christian Ramirez on a bicycle kick as he smacks it home to make it 2-0. 45th minute, Daniel Mendez makes it 3-0, and then it's halftime. Star of the second half, Jamie Watson, gets on the board in the 53rd minute, and then it's Christian Ramirez once again getting his brace 5 minutes later in the 58th. 5-0 at the time for Minnesota United FC. It was Cleberson who pulled one back, the consolation prize in the 71st minute, and that would be the end of that. Minnesota United FC, your final score. They defeated the Indy 11 5-1. And then it was on a Sunday, Ottawa Fury hosting the San Antonio Scorpions. It was a 1-1 draw in that one. Trevin Cesar in the 76th minute gave San Antonio the lead. 1 minute remaining before second half stoppage time, Tom Heineman pulls one back and equalizes for the Fury, and that match would end in a draw. The final score in that one, Ottawa Fury 1, the San Antonio Scorpions 1, and that would be the end of that for this particular round in the fall season of the NASL. As once again, great action, great action seen here in the NASL as the sixth round of games have already been played. More to come, of course, has been some midweek action. Here are the standings for the fall season right now. Minnesota United leading with 16 points, actually tied for points with San Antonio. Minnesota has a game in hand as San Antonio has already played 7. But so far for Minnesota, 5 wins and a draw, undefeated this season for 16 points with a plus 10 on the differential. San Antonio playing 7 games, 5 wins, a draw, and a loss for 16 points. They have a plus 8. Goal differential, of course, is the first tiebreaker on after points. So there you have it. Third place, Tampa Bay Rowdies. 6 matches played, 4 wins and 2 losses for 12 points with a plus 2. In fourth place, the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. 7 matches played, 2 wins, 3 draws, 2 losses with 9 points on a minus three differential. In fifth place through seventh, 8 points right now, but once again, goal differential is the first tiebreaker. Atlanta Silverbacks, 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses, with a plus one on the differential in fifth place. That win for FC Edmonton was big against the Carolina Railhawks. They have, in 7 games played, 2 wins, 2 draws, 3 losses, also 8 points, but they're even on differential. The Cosmos, 2 wins, 2 draws, 3 losses, once again, also 8 points, minus three on the differential. So at the moment in the fall season, the Cosmos are not looking good. Still plenty of games remaining. We'll get to the combined totals in a minute. As we go to 8th place with the Indy 11, 7 matches played, 2 wins, 1 draw, and 4 losses for 7 points. They have a minus 7 on the differential. Carolina Railhawks, surprisingly, in 9th place, 7 games played, 2 wins, 5 losses, 6 points, a minus 2 on the differential. And then finally, Ottawa Fury in last place, 6 matches played. They have not won a game so far in this fall season. 2 draws, 4 losses, scoring 3, allowing 9 for 2 points, minus 6 on the differential. As we move forward now to the combined standings, that's, of course, this past spring season and the fall season totals as we move along here once again. Minnesota United in first place altogether, 36 points. San Antonio in second place with 33 points. A Cosmos in third place with 27 points. Tampa Bay Rowdies in fourth place, 22 points. And that means at this moment with the playoffs, we already know Minnesota United has won the spring season. Fall season still up for grabs. Looks like San Antonio could take on the mantle for the fall season. The Cosmos are also in that playoff position. And the Rowdies, it looks like they'll take on that other position. Now we're going to continue. Tampa Bay Rowdies right now, fourth place, 22 points. Fort Lauderdale also 22 points, both with the same plus minus, with a minus three. The only reason why at the moment that Tampa Bay is ahead of Fort Lauderdale is head-to-head record. Because we could also go to away goal difference and away goals scored. But at the moment, we're going to go by head-to-head. So Tampa Bay in fourth with 22 points, a minus three. Fort Lauderdale, 22 points, also a minus three. But at the same time, Tampa Bay has a game in hand. So that is also another tiebreaker that probably is not on here at the moment, but it should be with games played. And once again, Tampa Bay has played 15 combined. Fort Lauderdale has played 16 combined. Sixth place, Carolina Railhawks with 20 points. Seventh place, Atlanta Silverbacks has 18 points. Eighth place, FC Edmonton with 16 points. Ottawa Fury right now, ninth place for 12 points. So far, their 3 wins have been in the spring season, not in the fall. And in last place, the Indy 11 with 11 points out of 16 played. So those are your standings, not just for the fall season, but the combined standings for both seasons as they are currently right now. So a lot of action here, a lot of talk, a lot of great action in the North American Soccer League. And don't forget, go to NASL.com to check up on all the news, all the information of all the teams right now. Don't forget, next season, the Jacksonville Armada is coming to the NASL. I believe also the Oklahoma City NASL team will also be ready to go 2014. We just need to make sure, just want to double check it just to make sure that Oklahoma, so the page is under construction. I guess we can't get to the logo there, but that's okay. Not a big deal as we keep on going here. Don't forget, everyone, 2016 will be the Virginia Cavalry that will be coming over for the NASL in 2016. So 10 teams next season, American, 12 altogether for the North American Soccer League. Let's go to the schedule right now as we get ready for the next round of games on Saturday, August the 23rd, and Sunday, August the 24th. on Saturday, August the 23rd at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. The New York Cosmos will be hosting the Minnesota United FC at the James M. Short Stadium. 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Indy 11 hosting Ottawa Fury at the Michael A. Carroll Stadium. 7:30 p.m. Eastern, the Tampa Bay Rowdies hosting the Carolina Railhawks at Al Lang Stadium over in St. Petersburg, Florida. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, the San Antonio Scorpions hosts the Atlanta Silverbacks at Toyota Field. And on Sunday, at 4 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Mountain, FC Edmonton will host the Fort Lauderdale Strikers at Clark Stadium. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Your next round of games in the North American Soccer League. Go to, once again, NASL.com, NASL.com, to take a look and see what is going to happen in the North American Soccer League. And don't forget, go ahead and check out ESPN's, of course, their Watch ESPN app, or on your computer or laptops or your web-enabled devices. Watch ESPN, once again. We'll have the NASL Game of the Week, a free stream from them as we head on over to take a look and see who is going to be on the stream. Of course, this past Saturday was the Tampa Bay Rowdies hosting the New York Cosmos. And as we take a look right now on Saturday, August the 23rd, as we take a look and see who's next for the NASL, currently not up yet, but that's okay. You can go ahead and go to ESPN.com, go to their Watch ESPN app, and go ahead and check out what is going on with the NASL, who will be the NASL Stream of the Week on ESPN, the Watch ESPN app, and go ahead and take a look. As we are getting ready here to shut down the show here, of course, once again, this is just an hour show. And you can get my New York Red Bull writings over at soccernewsday.com. Of course, we'll dabble in certain things here and there, of course. The New York Red Bull is making a trade with the New England Revolution. They send Andre Akpan to the Revolution, and they bring over Sahir Sen. Sounded like Sen had some issues with the coaching staff. Mike Petke, who got Sahir Sen to come over here on the other side of the trade, said that he's been fine. Don't know what happened in New England. Not going to inquire about it. But it looks like that the Red Bulls made a nice deal bringing in another dynamic player who can play up top or can play wide left in the midfield. It looks like that they're going to go for it, not just to make a playoff spot, but hopefully to go and dominate Group 3 in the CONCACAF Champions League. Now, don't forget, this coming Saturday, they're going to play the Montreal Impact in a league game on MSG, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. And then on Tuesday, August 26th, the New York Red Bulls will host Club Deportivo FAS here at Red Bull Arena. You can watch that match at the moment. It says Fox Sports 2. Of course, we're going to have to wait and see if that changes to Fox Soccer Plus, maybe Fox Sports 1. We don't know. Have to go ahead and take a look at the schedule to see when that match is going to be played or broadcasted on. And it looks like at the moment that it says here on MLS's website that the match on August the 26th between the New York Red Bulls and Club Deportivo FAS, Fox Sports 1 is the channel. For those of you in the New York City area that has the Optimum cable box, channel 69. Now, if it does move to Fox Sports 2, it will be on channel 403. Or if it moves to Fox Soccer Plus, channel 461 is Fox Soccer Plus. Now, I need to make sure I still have it and make sure, yep, Fox Soccer Plus definitely is the channel. So once again, just to give you the channels to discuss, I have to say you just have to say that right now you hope to see what's going to happen for the Red Bulls in the CONCACAF Champions League. Major League Soccer's, I would have to say their pundits just did a video about breaking down the MLS team's chances. And some are assuming, or at least Mr. Greg Lawless is assuming, that the Red Bulls are not going to worry about it because they want to worry about their playoff spot. Here's the thing. If the Red Bulls will fix their issues with their inconsistencies, then they will be able to tackle both. But once again, I understand making the playoffs is an important thing. But if you discount the CONCACAF Champions League, then you should not be allowed to play in it. And I'll tell you why. Because to be fair and to be honest, we need to see this Red Bull club performing in all competitions. Now, I understand that, well, where were they in the Open Cup game against the Cosmos on Long Island? Like I said before, they were ready to play. That was a strong lineup, ready to play against the Cosmos. Unfortunately, the Cosmos were ready times three. Red Bulls were ready. Cosmos were ready times three. That doesn't mean that the Red Bulls took this game, you know, lightly. It just meant that the Cosmos were at a higher level. That's all it means. To have the opportunity to represent this league in the CONCACAF Champions League in the knockout stage as well as the group stage, it is an honor. Thierry Henry's been through many UEFA Champions Leagues with Arsenal and Barcelona. I'm assuming Tim Cahill's been through a couple of Europa League matches with Everton whenever they were able to qualify for it. Dax McCarty, of course, had his time in the CONCACAF Champions League with FC Dallas. These are games that should not be sneezed at. And I truly believe that Mike Petke will have this team ready and going forward in the CONCACAF Champions League. Whether Thierry Henry plays in it or not, or Tim Cahill plays in it or not, there's enough depth right now for this team to go forward and do well. We cannot discount what Bradley Wright Phillips has done so far. 18 goals in league play, one against Bayern Munich in the MLS All-Star game, which was a cracker, a great goal against Arsenal, the club that his father, Ian Wright, played for. That was a hell of a goal. So you cannot say that the CONCACAF Champions League is something we don't need. No. They won the Supporters' Shield. They're able to qualify for it through the Supporters' Shield. So you know what that means? Really simple. It means this, is that the New York Red Bulls should be able to perform very well at home against a club like Club Deportivo FAS. And then when they're able to go on the road at Montreal and at FAS in El Salvador, you're hoping that's 9 points right there. And then you don't have to worry about it anymore, because then you're going to host Montreal in that last game at Red Bull Arena, end of October, near the end of the regular season, and you're going to see the Red Bulls doing something spectacular, and that is move on into the knockout stages of the CONCACAF Champions League. And this is the one thing I would like to stress with some of the coaches in this CONCACAF Champions League. I understand you cannot control the scheduling. And I think if you are going into the knockout stages of the CONCACAF Champions League, that is if you are going to be qualifying for it, I think the one thing that needs to be seen here is this, as you take a look at the standings, is that I understand it's all collective bargaining agreement and everything, that, you know, there needs to be a certain amount of time of a break. But if you do qualify either Sporting Kansas City, Portland Timbers, DC United, New York Red Bulls, as well as if Montreal does advance from the same group as the Red Bulls do. We'll see what happens. There's got to be some games that you're going to have a little bit more than just your typical preseason. I think you're just going to have to start making preseason games a little bit more meaningful. And when I say that, this is the plan I think they need to have. Before they go to these tournaments, whether it's in South Carolina where the Charleston Battery are for their Carolina Challenge Cup or the Disney Soccer Classic or the Tucson Classic or the Diamond Desert Classic, whatever it is, those games, in my opinion, against those teams should be games where you need the mentality of these are not preseason. We need to go forward. We need to play these games like they are actually meaningful games. And then when you get the league season started, then it all comes together. And then you don't have to worry so much about what might or might not happen in the quarterfinal round against their opponents, depending on if they're coming from Mexico or from Central America or from the Caribbean, or even if they're MLS opponents. I think what the Red Bulls need to do, they need to go and do preseason tours or at least have their preseason camps either in South America or in Europe or in Central America, wherever they're going to be. And then when you get to those special MLS tournaments, those preseason tournaments, either in Orlando, Charleston, or Tucson, that's when you go out and you treat those games like they're meaningful games. Don't treat them like they're preseason all the way. You treat them like they're meaningful games, and you treat them more important, and then you get ready for the regular season and then the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. When you do that, that's when I truly believe that can be an advantage for these MLS clubs that will move forward into the CONCACAF Champions League knockout stage if they do qualify for it. Now, once again, there is a very, very tall task here for certain clubs, especially with Sporting Kansas City taking on Deportivo Saprissa. Now, at the moment, Real Esteli and Saprissa have a point. At the moment, that's advantage Sporting Kansas City, depending on what they do against Real Esteli on Tuesday night at 10 p.m., and you can watch that on Fox Soccer Plus. We'll see what Saprissa can do. Sporting Kansas City can do. All the Red Bulls can do right now is wait after this coming Wednesday when Montreal is on the road at FAS. And if FAS can pull out 3 points, then it's all up for grabs for the Red Bulls. DC United has to wait for their opportunity, which will be on Wednesday, August the 20th at 8 o'clock as they host the Jamaican side in Waterhouse FC. So we'll see what happens there. But finally, as I've said before, my great moment from Landon Donovan's career, national team-wise, is this. When he caught on his right foot the cross by Eddie Lewis against Mexico in the 2002 World Cup second round match, and he bombed it, he screamed it, he smashed it past Perez. That was basically the dagger and the start of a legend for the U.S. men's national team in Landon Donovan. Landon, if you are listening to this show, to this program, thank you for the time. Thank you for exciting American soccer fans, and I wish you success in your retirement from the professional soccer ranks of American soccer. I want to thank Dave Denholm. I want to thank Michael Lewis and Carter Krishnire joining me today talking about the career of Landon Donovan. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to this hour show. We'll be back next week for 2 hours this Friday, CONCACAF Champions League Review Show Round 2. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody.